We're holding in the middle of them involved on base. Fourth line of the wide lines. We started learning yesterday, the Gemara had talked about the idea that an Eved Kanani, because you're not buying his goof from a guy, you're only buying his Maisi Yadav, you for the first time are going to be exercising a shibud over his goof, then therefore you have to tovel him. It has to be that the tevilah takes place with that in mind. If he tovels having in mind to become a Ben Chorin, then he'll become a Ben Chorin. And we said there might be a difference whether the guy sells himself to you versus not. Anyway.
And so if he tovels and perhaps for you the first time, and then he tovels again outside your sight with the idea of being Ben Chorin.
Well, but he tovels already in front of you, and you didn't protest. You didn't make sure that he tovels as an Eved, so it's too late. You can't make a Ben Chorin back into an Eved. So in this connection, Omar Shmuel, but sort of the toikvei b'mayim, you have to actually hold on to him in the water. So that, this way, you know, so what does it mean? Rashi says that it means that you have to actually make sure while he's in the water, before he comes out of the water, that he's actually doing some malacha for you already, so that he's already acting as an eved before the tevilah is even finished. Other Mepharshim talk about the idea of the toikvei literally means exactly what it sounds like. You have to hold on to him, like the toveling actually happens. It's as if in that sense, it's as if like you're toveling a dish or something. You're toveling him rather than him toveling himself. That way he's not doing it under his own power, and therefore whatever he thinks is not chal. Ki hai de minyamin avdid Ravashi, as we find the example of minyamin, the slave of Ravashi. Ba'alat buli, he needed to tovel to become an Eved Kanani. Masri niyalayu l'ravino l'ravacha b'rei d'rava. So Ravashi wasn't going to supervise the toveling himself. He handed over the Eved to Ravina and Ravacha b'rei d'rava. Amalu, and he says to them, Chazu, watch out, d'minayu kaboy slay, that I'm going to be requiring him from you. In other words, you're responsible for making sure that he remains an Eved and doesn't become a Ben Chorin.
D'minayichu,
that from you, Kabayis, actually it says on the side, should be Kabayinale, that if I will be demanding him from you. In other words, if you allow him to become a Ben Chorin, you're going to have to compensate me for that. So what do they do? Ramulei Arvisa B'tzavere, they put a collar or a chain or something like that around his neck, around the slave's neck. They loosened it and then they tightened it. They had to loosen it so that it won't be a chatzitza, so he'll be able to do a proper tefillah. And then they tightened it, not tight enough to cut off the circulation, but in other words, a little tighter. This way he can't possibly say, I'm toveling for the sake of a Ben Chorin. The fact that he's toveling with this collar around his neck, which they're holding the other end of it, that makes it any declaration that he would make is not going to be effective. They're making it that the toveling is happening only with their consent and only with...
Sure.
That's what we're saying. That's what the Gemara is saying. You have to do.
Yeah, but for him to remain an Eved.
That's what we're talking about, for him to remain an Eved. In order that he should go from being a complete goy to being an Eved Kanani, you have to have that the tevilah is done l'shem avdus. How do you make sure it's done l'shem avdus without him saying I'm doing it l'shem ben chorin? Make sure that you're doing something like this in order. Yeah. Bahadi the dolly reishim emaya, as he's getting ready to pick his head up out of the water, anchulei zulted the tinei areisha. They did something further. They took a container. They took a container full of mortar, of clay, and put it on his head. And they told him, Zil Asi Lebe Morach, go bring this to your master's house. This is, in other words, this is like an extra thing. Just putting the collar, that would have been enough already to make sure that the tevilah is done the same avdus. Like this, since the moment when he comes out of the water is the moment when he becomes an Eved, or in general, when a person tovels, when they come out of the water is when the Tahara or whatever it is completed. At that point he's an Eved. So they did this extra thing of putting something on him and telling him immediately that he has to go do Malacha.
Even if he had in mind to be Ben Chorin.
So this way, even if he had in mind to be Ben Chorin, even if he said, I want to be Ben Chorin, it still wouldn't have an effect. I'm a little popular, Rava. So Rav Papa asks Rava in this connection, Chazi Mar, Hani Debe Papa Ba'aba, take a look at the people from the household of Papa Ba'aba, the Yavi Zuzi Le'inshi Le'kau Gaihu, they give people money for their head tax. In those days, everybody had to pay a head tax. This isn't like an income tax like you have nowadays. This is everybody, just for being a citizen of the country, basically, owed taxes for that reason. So there were people who couldn't afford their taxes. The people of Papa Ba'aba's family would give them, would lay out, basically, the money for the taxes, or Mashabdi Behuv, and then they would use them as slaves. The question is, Kinaski, when those people go out from the slavery, and they're working for these people for a period of time, as Gemara is going to say in a second, that was the law in those days. So when they go free, do they need a get chayrus? Or not? Were they considered? Do they need a star like an Eved Kanani needs the star shikur or not? So the question basically is it considered a kinyan? Have they been koina these people? Have they been koina them like an Eved Kanani? Have they been koina them like an Eved Kanani? Or maybe not. Maybe they were only koina right to do by paying the taxes for them. Or maybe they were only koina their malacha. And if they're only koina their malacha, if they're only then you don't need to get shikur. The Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal, has a slightly different explanation of the Gemara. He says basically the question is, are they even considered avadim, or is it just that it's considered they owe Papa Ba'aba money for the taxes that he paid on their behalf, but they're not really considered avadim at all?
Since you have to make a piece that's nice, the Eneve.
Well, Omole, so Rava tells him, Ichu shchivi, you should know something. It's a good thing you asked. Ichu shchivi, if I had passed away, like Amri l'chohal milsa, I never would have had a chance to tell you this din. You're asking me a very basic din, and I'll tell you. Hachi amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said as follows, that in this case it works. They do become avadim because morhav kaihu dahani b'tafsa d'malka manach. The chosam, the seal of these people, lies in the king's treasury. Meaning, in other words, these people are muhakayu means their seal, means like they're a stamp, or their papers, like are under the king's control. Everybody in the kingdom is considered, or at least the people who don't pay taxes are considered the king's slaves. Umalka alma mandala yov karga mishtabel amanda yov karga. The king, the king's rule, the law of the land in those days was that anybody who doesn't pay their head tax is to be enslaved, is able to be enslaved by those who do pay the tax on his behalf. So therefore, in other words, yes, they are really considered avadim on the basis of dina demachos adina.
Avadim of the king,
but the king in turn is effectively is selling them to anybody who pays the tax on their behalf. There was a feudal society, basically. Everybody is officially a servant of the king, but when you pay your taxes, when you pay, perfect timing, when you pay your taxes, he works for the IRS.
Oh. I work for Hashem.
Okay. When you pay your taxes, everybody in a feudal society is a slave of the king. When you pay your taxes, then that takes away, you're not his slave. If you don't pay your taxes, then you are. The king farms out and then says, anybody who pays the tax on behalf of this person now becomes their master. So meaning of it's the matter of dina demachos adina. Now, how does dina demachos adina, how exactly does that work? So there's a number of different mafarshim have different explanations. One of them is just that it's basically sort of a voluntary thing. Anybody who's a citizen of this country, anybody who's willing to live under this king, is willing to accept his laws. And therefore, if that's the law, that the person is considered a slave unless they pay their taxes, well, then everybody's accepted that. So the goyim accepted that. So therefore, when they don't pay their tax, and now Papa Ba'aba is using them as slaves, it's effectively as if they've sold themselves to him. And we just said before, we said yesterday, that a goy who sells himself as an eved to a yid, then yes, the yid is kind of his body.
So in reverse, if they accumulate money from their work, pay back the taxes,
then they become free. But then that's what we're saying, is you'd need a get shichur. Because Papa Ba'aba actually having paid the taxes, having effectively bought them from the king's treasury, because he now owns them as if they were avodim knanim, then eventually when they get free, they're going to need a get shichur. Yeah. That's one way of looking at it. Is it's a matter of voluntary consent. Another explanation of it is it's this idea of dina d'machus. Dina works under the principle of conquest. Like when a king conquers a country, or in this case he rules, or, you know, his ancestors conquered it or whatever, then that includes that they conquered the population, and therefore they have the rights to use them as slaves. A few different explanations how exactly this business of dina d'machus dina works, but whatever, that's what it is. According to the Yamshel Shlomo's explanation, according to the Marshal's explanation, the idea is what he's saying is that he was asking, are these people, do we say that they're avadim at all, or do we say they just owe money? And he's saying they are avadim on this basis. More about avadim. Rav Chiya bar Abba ikla l'gavla. Rav Chiya bar Abba one time visited Gavla, is the name of a place. Rav Yaakov Emden explains in his notes that it's actually a place where a lot of Adomim lived. Historically, Josephus mentions that at one point, one of the kings of the Hashmonaim, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, had conquered an area full of Adomim and forcibly converted them. He says that this is the area we're talking about. Anyway, first of all, Rav Chiya bar Abba found over there were Jewish women who were pregnant by people who had undergone Mila but not Tevila, so they'd only gone through half of Gerus.
Right.
So that's what we're going to get to. Number two, well, we're going to get to the question, do you need both in order to be Ger? Yeah, that's going to be the next story. Wait. Second of all, he saw that there was Jewish wine there that Goyim were mixing with water, and the Jews were drinking it. So the Goyim weren't actually handling the wine; they were just pouring water into it. But so he was. One second. Where are we? And Jews would drink it. He also saw that Goyim would cook over their turmasin, which is a kind of bean that needs to be cooked many times. I mean, we had it back in Beisa, yeah, that has to be cooked seven times before it becomes edible, yeah. Anyway, he saw that they had turmasin, that Goyim were cooking, and Jews were eating it. On all these three things, he didn't tell them anything. He didn't think there's a problem with any of these things in halacha.
That the Goyim would handle the wine and...
No, that's the thing. If they were handling the wine, there's no question. The thing is, they were just pouring water into it.
Well, it was just a way of handling it.
No, really. Also, but he came to Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan tells him, no, save a hacher is abneim shal mamzerim. Go out there and announce that these women's children are mamzerim, that they're pregnant from Goyim, shal molu v'lei tavlu. And, announce that their wine is also as yain nesach. Val turmasin bishum bishul ever kachavim, and announce that these turmasin are also as bishul akum. Lufisha ain and bnei Torah, because these people are not bnei Torah. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says it's referring only to the turmasin thing. We're going to explain in a minute that technically turmasin shouldn't be an issue of bishul akum, but because these people are not bnei Torah, they're not going to know the difference between turmasin and other things. Declare that these things are also as bishul akum.
Because normally turmasin is not...
Because the Gemara is going to explain soon that normally turmasin should not be a problem of bishul akum. We'll get to that in a minute. Wait. Other Mepharshim explain that actually it's referring to all three things, that maybe with the other things also you could find a teirim, but yeah. What does he mean? Rabbi Yochanan, al b'nei and shein mamzerim, we said he should announce the children of mamzerim, Rabbi Yochanan and Taimei. Rabbi Yochanan is going according to his own svara.
From a goy to
mamzer. First, there's two things that we need over here. First of all, the amar of chiba abra Rabbi Yechanan la'olam ein ger at shiyom over yit. Well, first of all, Rabbi Yechanan holds that a person is not a ger unless he does both mila and tevila, which we're going to have a discussion about that soon. But kivin le'tavel av kachavimu, so if he hasn't tovel yet, he's still considered a goy. And the amar rabba b'avachana amar Rabbi Yechanan av kachavim ve'evet abab. I say so. Avlad mamzer. Rabbi Yechanan is one who holds that avlad mamzer. So therefore, based on those two considerations, therefore the children are mamzerim. If it was only one or the other, it wouldn't be an issue. If he held that Mila without Tevila is good enough, then it wouldn't be over the Chavim Eved, Abba Abbas Yisrael. If he held that Avlad Kosher, which we said before was a Maskana, then also it wouldn't be a problem. Only because he holds that you need both, and that over the Chavim Eved, Abba Abbas Yisrael, Avlad Mamzer. Only because of that, he's saying that they're considered to say that the children are Mamzerim.
Well, from Avinu, what happened? He made a Mila, but he didn't Tevila.
We'll get to it. Wait. Wait.
Come to that?
We'll come to that. Why should he declare the wine is yain nesach? The goyim didn't touch it. Technically, it shouldn't be a problem. But mishum leich leich amrin nazira, it's because of the expression. We tell the nazir, go away, schar schar lekaim le sikrav. Don't go around and don't go anywhere near the vineyard. Another is not allowed to drink wine or eat grapes. So we tell him, stay away from the vineyard in order to make a halakha. The same way over here, Rabbi Yochanan is telling Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, technically maybe this wine would be mutter, but because they're being careless with this, because they're being careless with this whole thing, go declare the wine as Yain Nesach.
The Nazir and the Goy.
No, but the point is that this is a general principle that when we have something which is Aser, you need to be careful to stay away from it. Yai Nesach is Aser. So in this case, even though just the Goy pouring water into it maybe doesn't make it Aser, right. But nevertheless, yeah. What about Val Turmas and Bishum Bishulav Chum Lefishen and B'nai Torah? We're saying that you should declare the Turmas and are considered Bishulakum because they're not B'nai Torah. What does that imply? How B'nai Torah Shari? Does that imply that if they were B'nai Torah, they would be allowed to eat these Turmas? How could that be? Well, Amr Bishmo Bar Rav Yitzchok Bishmei Rav, Kol Amnecho Kamoit Shul Chai, anything that can be eaten raw, Ein Ben Bishum Bishulav Chum, then there's no issue of Bishulakum in it. V'ha Turmas, Ein Necho Kamoit Shul Chai, Tumasin can't be eaten raw. That's the Gemara I mentioned there in Beit, so that you have to cook them 7 times before they become edible. So therefore, Bishulakum should apply to it, whether you're a Ben Torah or not. Wait. The answer is Rabbi Yochanan Ke'idach Lishna Svirulay. Rabbi Yochanan holds like the other Lashon. Any food which is not considered important enough that it would go on a king's table and be eaten together with bread, then there's no issue of bishlakum. So you have two different criteria. One is whether it's possible to eat it raw, and nevertheless it was cooked. The other is it doesn't matter whether it could be eaten raw or not. It matters whether it's an important food. Turmasin are not considered an important food. So therefore, even though it's true you can't eat them raw, what we're saying is Rabbi Yochanan would hold either that the important thing is Olah Shulchan Malachim, or that you need both. The halacha is you need both. The halacha is in order for there to be an issue with Bishulakum, you need both. It needs to be something that cannot be eaten raw, and it needs to be something which is not Olah Shulchan Malachim.
Fish or meat.
The fish or meat are Olah Shulchan Malachim, yeah. But for example, beans are not necessarily. There's a question that comes up all the time as far as potato chips. Potatoes in and of themselves could be Olah Shulchan Malachim. Potato chips are not. So do you go according to the potato? Do you go according to the potato, or do you go according to the form in which it is now, the chips? That's the question.
Well, have you ever seen potato chips eaten in the White House?
Not necessarily, but that's not the point. The point is potatoes themselves would be Olah Shulchan Malachim. Potatoes themselves might well be served at a state dinner. So therefore, if you go based on that, then you would say that potatoes, there's an issue of bishulakum, no matter how they're prepared, whether they're just baked potatoes, or whether they're made into French fries, or whether they're made into potato chips, or what have you. Whereas if you go according to the form, baked potatoes would be eaten at the White House, potato chips would probably not. It's a question. Anyway, so the time of the end in B'nai Torah. So that's the thing. Only because these people of Gavlon are not B'nai Torah, then therefore he's saying that's also Ha B'nai Torah, sorry. But if they were B'nai Torah, they would understand the difference between something that's Olah Shulchan Malachim and not. Therefore, they would be allowed to eat the Trumasin. Somewhere or other, I read that in pre-war Yerushalayim and pre 1948 Yerushalayim, there used to be goyish vendors who would go around selling cooked turmasin, and people bought them because, as we see, talking about over here, there's no issue of bishulakum over here. Yeah.
Bishulakum, or because they're
bishulakum. No, that's the thing. Because evidently it's only in a place like Gavla where they're completely not B'nai Torah that there's an issue. Where people are knowledgeable, then there's not such an issue. And yeah, turn it up on them. Now let's get back to, we just said Rabbi Yochanan said that you need Mila and Tevila in order to be a Ger. Now let's discuss that. Ger Shemlo V'loi Tavol, if a Ger does Mila but not Tevila, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Harei's a Ger, Rabbi Eliezer says that he will be considered a Ger, Shekein Matzinu Rabbi Seinu Shemlo V'loi Tavlu. We find that our forefathers did Mila but not Tevila. What do we mean by our forefathers? Well, Rashi says we don't mean Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rashi says we mean our forefathers before Matan Torah. They did Mila before they left Mitzrayim. They had to do Mila in order to eat from the Korban Pesach. We don't find Rabbi Eliezer saying that they did Tevila. So therefore, you see, we'll discuss that soon. So therefore, there is reason to say that Mila without Tevila is good enough. other Mefarshim say that no, the Jewish people before Matan Torah definitely did do Tevilah. The Chizkuni, for example, says that Avisenu over here means Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Pashtus, most other Mefarshim don't accept that because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Taka, weren't really considered full-fledged Jews. They really are, for certain purposes, considered B'nai Noach.
How can you translate before Matan Torah after Matan Torah?
That's exactly it. So because what we're saying is like this. It's a given that whatever the Jewish people did in order to become the Jewish people is what a ger needs to do also. Kochem kager, the Pasuk says. Just like you do, so a ger has to do. So what did the Jewish people do? So that's the thing. So far we're saying, according to the simple explanation of the Pasukim, that not necessarily did they travel, but they did do milah. And Mefarshim talk about, by the way, how does that work? They did Mila in order to eat the Korban Pesach. They didn't necessarily do Mila as a part of a process of Geirus. So there's a lot of different answers. One of them is that they did it. It is part of the process of coming Takas Kanfei Ashchina, of becoming the Jewish people. Yes, they're doing it right then and there in order to eat the Korban Pesach, but it's also part of the idea that they're becoming Hashem's nation. Then they talk about, what about the B'nai Levi? The B'nai Levi did do Mila all those years at the time. What about them? They did Mila. So there's a lot of different explanations also that various Rishonim take. Some of them say that the Levim would have needed a top of Dam Bris. Others say that no, since they were Malad already and they did it for the sake of the mitzvah, then they don't need to do anything again. There's a number of different opinions. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, throughout well, later on in the Masechta, we're going to have a discussion about that, that the Yisraelim stopped doing Mila in the Midbar because they didn't have the north wind and it would have been dangerous, but the Levim kept it up. That's why in the Bracha, in the Bracha of the Shevet Levi, Moshe praises them. They kept your bris no matter what.
Even though there was no way.
Even though, yeah. Anyway. So, Memvav Amin Aleph, towards the bottom. So, okay, so that's a Gershom Movalei Tovol. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying that is good enough. What about the other way around? You tovel, but you did not do bris mila. Rabbi Yeshua, Maharei's a ger, then Rabbi Yeshua says that's a good ger. We find that our foremothers toveled and didn't do bris mila. Namely, again, according to either of the explanations, the Jewish women, when they left Mitzrayim, they didn't mal, obviously, because there's no mila for women, but they did do tevila. How do we know they did tevila? The Gemara will talk about it on the days. So therefore, tevila by itself should be good enough. Or again, all the Mefarshim say that maybe the Meiri and the Meiri says, and the Chizkuni seems to say something similar, that we're talking about the Yimaris, Sora, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Anyway. No, you need both Mila and Tevila. Well, obviously women don't need Mila. Obviously women don't need Mila. We're talking about for men, you need Mila and Tevila. For women, only Tevila, because of Yemsha. Isha Kamad Demihila, Dami. The Gemara says women are considered as if they're malad already. Yeah. The question is, would it be a sure Nami Nelech Me Ovis, Rabbi Eliezer Nami Nelech Me Imois? Rabbi Eliezer is saying you learn from the men. Rabbi Yeshua is saying you learn from the women. Why doesn't each one accept the other one's proof? Rabbi Yeshua should agree with Rabbi Eliezer about Mila only, and Rabbi Eliezer should agree with Rabbi Yeshua about Tevila only. V'chi Tema Ein Don in Epshmishi Epshur. You might answer, the difference is that you have to say that men need Mila, Rabbi Eliezer would argue, because you're saying the women don't need Mila. Okay, women don't need Mila because there's no possibility of Mila by then. You can't prove the Efsher, the case where it's possible to do Mila, namely men, from the E-Efsher, from the women.
Hashem never commanded the women to...
That's what we're saying, in other words. So the women are E-Efsher. It's impossible for there to be Mila for the women, so therefore that's what we're saying. We're trying to say over here like this. Rabbi Yeshua is saying, you know how I know tefillah by itself is good enough from the women? Why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer accept that? So you might argue, because Rabbi Eliezer would say, you want to prove from the women? Okay, women, there's no choice. It's E-Epsher. There's no way for them to do Mila. Necessarily for them, tefillah must be enough. Men who are able to do Mila should do Mila.
I have to say more simply. What applies to women does not apply to men. The way... No,
I don't understand what you mean.
The gerus for women is different than the gerus for men. Men need tefillah.
No, so Rabbi Eliezer had said that you need Mila. Right. Rabbi Eliezer had said you need Mila. Tefillah doesn't matter. Rabbi Yeshua is saying the other way around. We're saying, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer accept Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? And so that you might say, why doesn't he accept his opinion? Very simple. Because Rabbi Yeshua is talking about women. Rabbi Eliezer would say, women don't need Mila because it's impossible. It's E-Epsher. Men, it's Epsher, so therefore they should need Mila. The problem with that is, but we learn in a Braisa that Rabbi Eliezer does not accept that kind of logic. Rabbi Eliezer, I remember nine Pesach Zerda Shein Ba'al Minachul. And how do we know that the Pesach in future generations, meaning not the original Pesach of Mitzrayim, but in future generations, Shein Ba'al Minachul, that you can only bring it from Chulid money, you can't bring it, for example, from Maitre Sheini money. How do we know this? Nema Pesach for Mitzrayim, and Nema Pesach for Zerda, because we have a mitzvah to bring a Pesach for one time in Mitzrayim, we have a future one for all generations. Ma Pesach Omer Mitzrayim Ein Ba'al Minachul, just like the one in Mitzrayim obviously came from Chulim, because there's no Maitre Sheini yet. So the same way for future generations. So Rabbi Akiva tells him, what are you talking about? How can you prove the impossible from the possible from the impossible? In Mitzrayim, it couldn't have been from Maitre Sheini money because there was no Maitre Sheini yet. You want to prove that for the future you can't bring it from Maitre Sheini because in Mitzrayim they didn't? That's different. In Mitzrayim they didn't because there was no Maitre Sheini. How can you prove that that means for future generations? And Rabbi Eliezer tells him, even though it's true in Mitzrayim it would have been impossible to bring it from Meiser, nevertheless, Raya Gzolihi, it still is an important Raya, Benulman Hemena, and we can still learn from it. So Rabbi Eliezer does not hold of this that there's a problem with done in Epsher Mashiach Epsher. So yeah, the same thing over here. When Rabbi Yeshua is saying the women only needed Tevila, why shouldn't Rabbi Eliezer say, you're right, you know what? The women only need tevila because the women only need tevila. Therefore, the men also only need tevila. I men are able to do bris milah and women are not. Doesn't matter. Rabbi Eliezer says that you can. You can do this kind of limud. Ella said no. The tava v'loy mal kulam v'loy pligid mahani. If the person does tevila and not milah, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree that that's fine. But yes, it's enough. Given that we see that tevila is enough for women, then yes, we can learn. Even Rabbi Eliezer, so even Rabbi Eliezer agrees, we can learn from that for men. Keep pligi b'mol v'loy tavol. The machlokas is the other way around. If he did mila, if a man did mila but not tvila.
So tavol v'lomol, that we agree on.
Yes, but again, the chachamim disagree with both of them. The chachamim say you need both.
Right.
But here we're talking between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Namely, Rabbi Eliezer yalef me avos. So Rabbi Eliezer learns from the avos. The avos, meaning again, according to Rashi, our forefathers when they left Mitzrayim did mila, they didn't do tvila. So we see Mila without Tevila is enough. For Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua would answer back, but Avos nami Tevila hava. Our ancestors, our Avos also did Tevila. The question is, Manoleh, how does he know that? Ilema b'dichtiv, is it from the fact that it says in Parshat Yisrael, the Eibishah tells Moshe, leich la'am v'kidashtam hayomum achar, v'chiv susim loisem, go to the people and make them, sanctify them, make them holy today and tomorrow, prepare them for Matan Torah, and they should wash their clothes. Which, in many places in Chumash, the word v'chivis v'gadav means that they have to tovel their clothes and also themselves. No. You generally, when it says v'chivis v'sim loisa, generally something that says v'chivis v'gadav in the Torah, it means for anybody. But and you would figure like this: umaba makom shein ton kibbutz ton tevila. You have places where you don't have to tovel your clothes, but yet you have to tovel yourself. Makom shein ton kibbutz ain't a din shein ton tevila. Here, where they're telling them that they have to tovel their clothes, how much more so they have to tovel themselves? You can't do that. V'duman nekiyus ba'alma. Not necessarily. Maybe the chibsusim loisam does not in fact mean to tovel their clothes. Maybe it just means to wash their clothes. They should have their clothes. Should be nice and neat. L'kavod matan Torah. And as a matter of fact, actually, Targum Onkelos uses two different phrases to translate the word v'chibsus im loisam, or v'chibus begadav or whatever. When it's meant to mean tevila, he uses the shortest tsava, tzadik beiz ayin in Aramaic, v'yitzaba v'ushoyi or whatever. When it means just to wash it, like putting it in the washing machine, he uses the shortest chiver, chetzvav resh, v'yichavrun. Here he uses v'chavrun. So you could argue then that it just means to wash their clothes, to get them clean. Which, in fact, the Meshech Chacham points out, that goes to show, we know that Unkelos learned under Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Evidently, in this, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Ela mechacha. So no, rather we can learn it from the following. The Pasuk says, later on in Mishpatim, it describes the event right before Matan Torah, Vayikach Moshe es adam v'yizir kala'am, Moshe took the blood of the Korbanos and sprinkled it on the people, Ugmiri, and we know for a fact, De'en azov, lo tevila, that whenever you're sprinkling somebody to make them tar, there has to be tevila beforehand. So obviously, therefore, they must have tevila.
And azov lo tevila.
So therefore, if he's saying that that they sprinkled the blood on the people, necessarily must mean that they tevila.
Washing clothes
Who says? We don't find anywhere necessarily if they did.
Would it have to be the general question gave us?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about yesterday, maybe if you're tovel in L'shem Nida or whatever, then it'll also count L'shem Geiris, but we don't explicitly find that they tovel L'shem Nida in all that time either, or L'shem Keri.
But maybe it's just Hazar, let's see, like, it says it's Geiris.
No, but that's the thing. If they did Hazar, necessarily they must have had to do Tevila. So Rabbi Yeshua says, there you see, they did Tevila. What would Rabbi Yazir answer to that?
To the argument that they hadn't spoken about Tevila.
But here we see, Rabbi Yeshua says, see, they did do Tevila. What would Rabbi Yazir answer to that? Rabbi Yazir would say, first of all, not necessarily. Maybe indeed you can have Hazar without Tevila. Or Rabbi Yezer might say, and this is in fact again how Targum Onkelos translates it, by Yisrael Kala'om doesn't mean he sprinkled the blood on the people. It means he sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeach that he built there in order to be Mechaper on the people. So then there's no need for Tevila at all necessarily. So the others are before Matan Torah. We don't learn from them anyway. But according to the Meiri and according to the Meiri, yes, when we say Aviseinu and Imaseinu, we mean the others and Imahos. We mean Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. But here, the Pashtus we're talking about over here, the events before Matan Torah. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Rabbi Yeshua, Tevila be Imahos Minolon?" Okay, we see. So where do we see necessarily that the women tovel? The answer is svaru. That's a svaru. If they didn't tovel, then what action would they have done in order to become Jews? In order to come tachas kan peshchina, you have to do some kind of action. Mila is not available to them. So necessarily, there would have had to be tevila. Rabbi Yeshua is just saying, you can see from that pasuk, you can see from this pasuk over there by Yisrael Kalam, you can see that the men also tovel. But Rabbi Chiba Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, La'olam ain't a ger ad sh'yomo v'yitvil. A person's not a ger unless they do mila and tevila. That's pshita. Yachad v'rab malachat k'rabim. Well, of course, we have the chachamim versus we have the individual opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Of course, halach is like the chachamim. The answer is, because the chachamim here are not the rabim, the chachamim here is also a yachid. Man chachamim Rabbi Yossi, who is the chachamim of the braisa that we quoted, is really only one amor, one tana, Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Haresh Baba Amma Malti Veloy Tavalti, if somebody comes to Beis Din and says, I got a bris milah, but I did not tovel, Machbila Noise or Mabakach, Divi Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you can go ahead and tovel him. What's the problem? All you need, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, is Tvila. He holds like Rabbi Yeshua. All you need is Tvila. So we don't care whether the milah was done Lashma, not Lashma, whether it was done by a Yid, by a Goy, etc. Once he does Tvila, that's good enough. That could also be, yeah.
No.
Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that's the thing. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Tevila is enough.
Enough, but it has to be Lishma. Shengeris.
I don't understand. The Tevila, that's what we're saying. If a person comes and says, Malti v'loi tovalti, he says, I have not toveled yet, then fine. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, based in at that point, to tovel him. They don't have to worry what happened with the Mila, because the Mila is not a prerequisite.
To the Geiris.
Rabbi Yossi, I'm a Machbilin, whereas Rabbi Yossi says you cannot tovel him because you need both. Which we see, therefore, that the Chachamim, who said before that you need both, that would be according to Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, we do have to pass, and specifically that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, because otherwise we wouldn't have known. L'fichach, because of this Machloikas, Machbilin Geir b'Shabbos divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would therefore say that you're allowed to tovel a Geir on Shabbos because the Mila has already been done. The Tevila is just kind of to complete things, and therefore you can do that on Shabbos. You're not making him from a Goy into a Yid. You're not being the Sakin Gavra. You're not fixing the person, which is also the Rabbanon, on Shabbos, and therefore it would be Mutter.
You're
completing it, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, one or the other is enough. So that's it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, one or the other, either Mila or Tevila is enough. So once he did the Mila, you can tovel him. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says you cannot tovel a Ger on Shabbos, because then you'd be completing the Geirus by that. There's a sicha, by the way, and I think Chelik Lamed Gimel, where the Rebbe discusses the question. If so, I mean, we know Matan Torah was done on Shabbos, and they tovelled that morning. The Gemara explains in Shabbos that they tovelled the morning of Matan Torah. We learned it way back in Shabbos. So if so, if we're saying over here you're not allowed to tovel a ger on Shabbos, how did they tovel on Shabbos and complete their gerus on Shabbos? And the gist of it is that Eva answers, in that case that was a special situation. They kind of had they had the mila and the tevila before the Kabbalah mitzvahs. The Kabbalah HaMitzvahs was at the actual Matan Torah when they just started saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Before that, they said Na'aseh V'Nishma in a general way that they were accepting the mitzvahs. But they didn't, so to speak, like they didn't really know what they're getting themselves into. Whereas Gedrus nowadays is the other way around. First you do Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, then you do the Mila and the Tevilah. So therefore, the Tevilah is the final step. So therefore, the Tevilah can't be done on Shabbos nowadays. But the first time it could, yeah. No, tefillah is dipping in a mikveh.
Yeah, the mikveh.
Be'er Shal Miriam served as a mikveh, yeah. Omamar. No, so we're going to say later that when the ger is in the mikveh, you have it. Well, we'll get to it tomorrow probably. That when the ger is in the mikveh, you tell him over again. You make him do one last kabbalah mitzvah before he does the final step. But the essential kabbalah mitzvah has been before that. I don't understand. The tefillah is the completion. That's why we're saying you can't do the tefillah on Shabbos.
Right, but the first time when they did it.
When they did it, then yeah, it wasn't yet because they didn't have the Kabbalah mitzvahs until the Eivish actually started giving them the Torah. Yeah. Omar, so we said in the Braita, Lefichach Matbilim Ger B'Shabbos, that therefore Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you can tovel Ger on Shabbos. The question is, Pshita, well, of course. Kivin to Amar Rabbi Yehuda B'Chad HaSagya, since Rabbi Yehuda is saying that one or the other is enough, then Heichadimol Lefanina Matbilim. So of course, if he mauled in front of us, if we know that the mila was done properly, then of course, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there should be no problem tovelling him on Shabbos. You're not making him into anything he wasn't before. So there's a maila fichach. So what do you need it there for? The answer is maul to tamil Rabbi Yehuda tevila iker. You might think, according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe the tevila is the main thing, similar to what Rabbi Yeshua was saying before, or tevila b'Shabbos loy, and therefore you can't tovel him on Shabbos to come a sachin gabra, because then you're fixing him. You're making before he was a goy and now he's a yid. It's like fixing a keli. The chiddush is that Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's one or the other. It doesn't matter which one, it's one or the other of them that you need.
But if it's one or the other, even doing one is completely
different. If he did the milah already, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's a yid at that point.
Right.
He needs the tefillah maybe for choice for chiddusha.
If he didn't do anything, then it's a complete.
Yeah.
If he did something,
yeah. Incidentally, this is what the Gemara is saying over here, that you can't tovel the ger on Shabbos because of Mesakin Gavra. The Rambam has a different explanation of it, of why you're not supposed to tovel a ger on Shabbos. Because, aside from this reason, there's another reason, because the Gemara is going to explain soon that gerus is considered a mishpat, it's considered like a din Torah. That's why it has to be done by a base din of three. You don't do din Torah on Shabbos. Nevertheless, with all of that, it says in Shulchan Aruch, b'diyeved, if the ger toveled on Shabbos, then it's okay, because after all, the whole thing is only Xedo Dirabanan. Then we said that the Braisa had said Rabbi Yossi ain't Matbilin, that Rabbi Yossi says you can't put a ger on Shabbos. And again, the question is Pshita. Given to Amr Rabbi Yossi Tau Tibrin, since Rabbi Yossi says you need both Mila and Tvila, Chakuni Gabra B'Shabbos Lemas Ginin, and there's no question, you can't fix a person on Shabbos. Which, by the way, we had back in Beitza, we had a discussion about whether a person is allowed to tovel on Shabbos, and we said the difference between toveling kalim and toveling a person is toveling kalim, you're obviously doing it for the sake of the mitzvah of tevilas kalim. Toveling a person, it might just be he was hot, he wanted to cool off. So why are we saying over here it's an issue? The difference. So one reason is that, yes, here you're making a goy into a yid, it's like a whole new mitzvah. And another reason is because regular tevilah does not have to be done in front of a beis din. The tevilah of a ger has to be done in front of a beis din. When it's being done in front of a beis din, you don't have the excuse of saying I was hot and I wanted to cool off. Why don't you bring the beis din in there? So that's so yeah. Anyway, the answer is ma'od tam l'Rav Yosi mila ikar. You might have thought that according to Rav Yosi, maybe the mila is the essential part of the gerus. V'hasam hu d'lay havoi mila b'fanenu. And when is Rav Yosi saying that you can't tovel him just based on his word, is the mila was not done in front of us. So we don't know if it was a kosher mila or not. We don't know if maybe he's from the Arabs or whatever who regularly maul their children. So then he would say that you can't just tovel him on a say-so. Aval hecha dehavi mila b'faneinu, but you would think, according to Rabbi Yossi, if the mila was done in our presence, so we know it was a kosher mila, eima litbol zebashabdi, you might have thought that Rabbi Yossi would say, fine, the mila is the main part of it. And therefore, he can go ahead and tovel on Shabbos. Kamash malon the Rabbi Yosi tati boy. That's the chiddush that Rabbi Yosi actually requires both parts of it, and without it, he's not a complete ger.
Muslim that had a mila wants to convert. dealer is not considered.
No, so that's this is what I was mentioning before on Amud Aleph, relating to the Jews when they left Mitzrayim, relating to Leviim, that there's many different opinions among the Rishonim what has to be done. The majority opinion, and this is the accepted halacha in Shulchan Aruch, is you have to do Asaf as Dambrit. You have to draw a drop of blood from the Mila area. There's other opinions as well. There's an opinion that says you don't need to do anything because he is already mauled. There's an opinion that says maybe such a person cannot be misgayer because you're not able to do the milah. Rabbi Hananel says that, for example. Yeah. But the accepted halacha is you do atrafas dambris, and that's that, yeah. So the Gemara is going to mention, when we get to Mem Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to explain the actual procedure of gerus, that yeah, you should do that as soon as possible. But I mean, as a practical matter, the Rambam writes, you wait until the Mila is healed before you have him toivel. Not necessarily because of Sakana, but just, yeah, maybe because the blood would be chafetz or whatever it is exactly, yeah. The vote is, the Radvaz explains in one of his Trubas, the reason why you need a two-step process is the Mila takes him away from the Tumor of a Goy, and the Tevila gives him the Kedusha of a Yid. So in the time in between, he's sort of in limbo over there. He's no longer an Ovid Kachavim, but he's not yet a Yid. Amar Rabba, Uvdehavi Beirab Chia Barebi Beirab Chia Barebi, that once happened in the household of Rav Chia Barebi, Rav Yosef Masni, Rav Oshia Barebi, Rav Yosef adds that it wasn't just Rav Chia Barebi, there were two people there, also Rav Oshia Barebi, Rav Safra Masni, Rav Oshia Barab Chia, and Rav Safra adds that there was a third person there, Rav Oshia Barab Chia, the Otzala Kameh Ger Shem Ovloi Tobal, that there came to him or to them a Ger who had mauled but not toiled, Amalei, and Rav Chia tells it, or not Rav Chia, Rav Chia, or Rav Chia and Rav Oshia, or whatever, all three of them, tell him, Shahi Kan Ablamacher, wait here till tomorrow, because this happened at night, and then we'll toivel you. Shema Min Aflas, which we can learn three things from this little story. Three dinim. Shema Min Ager Tzarech Shloisha. Number one, we see that Gerus has to be done in front of a Beis Din of three. That's why Rav Safra makes a point of mentioning that there were three Chachamim over there. And it's not just to be precise and say who was there, because Rav Chia and Rav Oshia are on a higher level. They're greater than the third one, Rav Oshia and Rav Chia. There wouldn't have been a need to mention Rav Oshia and Rav Chia when he's not as great as the other ones, were it not for the fact, in order to stress that you need three. So number one, you see you need three. Or Shema Mina Ena Gerat Shiyom Over Yitbol. Number two, you see that he needs to mal and toivel. That's why they're telling him wait till tomorrow and we'll toivel you. And we see also that you can't toivel a ger at night. That's why they told him to wait till the next day. That's what we're going to say in a second. The question is, the Gemara asks why. We have a fourth din we can learn that. It's from the name of Shmami Nanami Be'in and Mumchin. Maybe also we should learn from the story that you need Mumchin, you need people with smicha in order to do a gerus. Real smicha, that is, the kind of ish v'piyish to Moshe Rabbeinu.
We couldn't do it today.
Which would mean we couldn't do it today. The answer is no, Dilma de Iklu. It could be, it happened that the three people who were there all had smicha. Not necessarily would it be that you need people with smicha with it. Tosfos discusses that maybe indeed you do need mumchim, but the difference is, so how are we able to do it nowadays when none of us have ish smicha, ish mepiyish to Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Tosfos says in some for purposes of certain dinim, we can say we are doing the shlichus. We're doing a shlichus on behalf of those who do have smicha. At one time, the Chachamim had smicha, so therefore we, who don't have smicha nowadays, meaning our Rabbanim nowadays, who don't have that kind of original smicha, are acting as shluchim on behalf of the ones who did have smicha. What? Shluchas Lan Chaisa. And therefore they're able to preside over a gerus, yeah.
But why didn't we say that about the Sanhedrin?
What do you mean? No, we can only say that about certain kinds of things. We can't say it about dinei knosis. Dinei knosis, you need special reshus. In order to be able to judge those. Even as far as dinei mominus, actually, it was just in Rambam in Shlosh Prakim a day or two ago that a Beis Din does not have the real smicha. Not only they can't judge dinei knosis, let alone dinei nefashis, they can't even judge. They can't even judge regular. They can't even judge dinim mominus in rare cases that are rare kinds of cases. For example, you know, we have the classic example that it talks about all over Baba Kama of one person's shur harms another person's shur. Technically, a Beis Din without smicha, the Rambam says, is not allowed to judge such dinim. It's not a common enough thing that we can say they're doing it out as a shlichus on behalf of those who have smicha. Only the more common things, gzeilus v'chabalus, people steal money, people injure each other, whatever. Yeah. Those are the kinds of or being magaya or ger. Those are the kinds of things that you can say because Parsha, you need society to be able to function, and here also you need to be able to, you don't want to just close the door completely to gerim. If they both agree, fine. You can do whatever you want. But we're talking about if one of them doesn't agree, if my shur damaged your shur, why would I willingly want to go to a Beis Din of non-smuchim and end up having to pay money? I'd be better off saying I don't accept the validity of this Beis Din, and they can't judge it. Yeah, but Amam says that's right. So what will happen in that case is the Beis Din will have the right to put the mazik in chayrim until he pays up, etc. But you know,
because it's very common.
Because it's a very far-fetched thing, because it's not a very common thing.
What, dinim?
No. Dinim, like, for example, shur shenargachazapara, for example, is not a common thing. Mashem is a common thing. The common kinds of dinim omenet and the common kinds of gerus, yeah, that's it. Amr of chir ba'abu amr yechinun, ger tzarech dimu. When a ger to be misgayu, you need to have a Beis Din of three. Because mishpat sibbe, because the pasuk describes the gerus as mishpat echad yilachem, and a mishpat applies. You have to have a Beis Din of three. Yeah. Tana rabbanan, mishabava am a gerani. If somebody comes and says, I am a ger, yachol nekablanu, you would think we accept him, that we don't need any proof of it, or we don't need, Rashi says actually we don't need hachafas dambris or toveling. Tama lema itcha. No, the pasuk says, v'chiyogu itcha ger, v'mochzat lach, which means you have to have a chazaka on him. Now, we're not talking about, by the way, we're going to talk about soon. Are we talking about somebody who we never knew him before from anywhere, and all of a sudden he comes and says, I'm a ger? Not necessarily are we talking about that, because there you could say Apesha also or Apesha Hitu. We would have thought he's a yid without him saying otherwise. He comes and says, I'm a ger, implying at one time I was a goy and now I became a ger. On that basis, that might be enough to believe him. We're talking about somebody who we have a reason to have a chazaka that he was once a goy. Either we knew him beforehand and we knew that he was a goy, or, as the Gemara is going to say soon, we're talking about in Chutz La'aretz where most people are goyim. Wait, that's the next thing. Bav Eid of Ima Minayin, how do we know if he comes with Eidim that we believe him? The pasuk says if a ger comes and lives with you in your country, the chiyagur implies whatever kind of ger he is, as long as he has evidence. That's the next question. Ainli elabaret b'chutz la'aretz minayin, but ba'artzachem sounds like it means you can only accept gerim in Eretz Yisrael. How do we know you can accept them in chutz la'aretz? Tamad lama itcha b'chol makam she'itcha. No, the pasuk says v'chiyagur itcha. If a ger lives with you, meaning kol shabit b'chol makam she'itcha, wherever he lives with you, anywhere where Jews are living. Im kein matam lama ba'aretz. So what is the pasuk? So what does the pasuk mean ba'artzachem then? It means ba'aretz tzarech la'abiraya. If he's living in if this ger is coming to you in Eretz Yisrael, then he does need to bring a raya that he was actually properly misgayer. Because what are the possibilities? You see that he's malad, but the problem is he might be an Arab or a Givoni or whatever who regularly malad also. And why is he coming and claiming to be a Jew? Because he wants the shvach of Eretz Yisrael. He wants Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Zavach Kol Rabash. He wants a share of Eretz Yisrael. Not a hereditary share, but like he wants to be able to live as a Jew and be able to freely buy property in Eretz Yisrael.
He wants to be able to go to try and get a free coffee.
Yeah. Well, that's in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas in Chutz La'aretz, ain't tzarech la'avi raya. Whereas in Chutz La'aretz, he doesn't have to bring such a raya, because if he's saying he's a yid there, he for sure means it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. Whether in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz, the person has to bring a raya. And again, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about again, if we had a reason to believe originally that he was a goy, then I'm right. If you have somebody who you never knew before was a goy, and he comes all of a sudden in one day and says, you should know I was this guy, yeah? You can accept him on that basis. You can accept that he's a yid on that basis if you see that he's shomer Torah mitzvahs. The Rambam says, as far as yuchsin, as far as actually allowing him to marry a Jewish woman, for that you need raya, but only because we're more machmir on matters of yuchsin. But it's more than a bigger. It's a pesha also a pesha iser. He himself declared that at one time he was also that he was a goy, and he himself is declaring that he's mutter now that he's a ger. But so here we're talking about where we knew originally that he was a goy. Okay, then the Braisa had continued Bahu ve'edim imoy, that if he comes together with Edim, that we say the pasuk implies that you believe him. The question is lamali, what do you need a pasuk? He has Edim. Edim are always acceptable. Right, but we're not talking about Edim who actually saw the geirus taking place. To Amri, they're talking about Edim, that you say Shamainu Shinisgayu based in Shaplani. We heard that he was Nisgayu and so and so is based in. So you would say Lailahim Nayu. You would think we don't believe them. It's hearsay. Kamashkalan, that's chiddush, that's a chiddush, because here we're not talking, because here it's not real edus so much that we need. Here what it is is basically it's a gili milsa ba'alma. The Edim are not telling us, the Edim are not coming to establish something that wouldn't be known without them. Eventually you would find out one way or the other. It's called gili milsa ba'alma. The Edim are just informing us of the facts. So it's not really considered edus, and therefore we can accept it.
No, it's too Edim.
Yeah. Then we said Ba'aretz, the pasuk said Ba'aretz, or actually Ba'aretz Hashem, Ainli Ela Ba'aretz, we would only know that this applies that you can accept Geirim and Eretz Yisrael, but Chutz La'aretz Minayin, how do we know, the Braith that said, how do we know you can accept Geirim and Chutz La'aretz, Tamad La'im Me'itcha B'chol Makam She'itcha? The question is, how can you learn that from the word Itcha? V'ha Kikte Chada, V'ha Kikte, you already use the word itcha for something else, but muksuk lach, so you have to have a chazaka that he's a yid. So how can you now use it to say that it also means you can accept gerim anywhere in the world?
Itcha means a chazaka
Itcha means he has to be with you, it has to be muksuk lach, that you have a chazaka on him, that's what we said in the Braisa. The answer is chada me itcha v'chada me imcha, because we have two different psukim. We have one pasuk that says v'chiyagu itcha ger ba'artzichem, and we have another pasuk that says ger v'soisha v'chai imach. So we have two different words that mean with you in two different psukim that talk about ger. So one of them teaches us that you have to have a chazaka on him, or edus, as the case may be, and the other one teaches us that you can accept gerim anywhere in the world. Then we said that anywhere in the world, a person always has to bring a raya, that he's a ger. Question is, okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we understand why the pasuk is saying ba'aretz, but there's a difference between whether you accept him on his word in Eretz Yisrael versus in Chutz La'aretz. According to the Chachamim, there's no difference. Then why does the pasuk chal use the word ba'aretzichem?
The Chachamim say both.
Yeah. The answer is, ahum b'ba'aretz, afilu ba'aretz mekablim gerim. That, the Chachamim say, we need that in order to tell us that you should know that even in Eretz Yisrael, you're able to accept Geirim. The Sakhadach Bisham Tivusa de Eretz Yisrael Kamagairi. You might think, again, like we said before, the guy in Eretz Yisrael maybe is only being this Geir in order to benefit from the wealth and prosperity of Eretz Yisrael. Vahashtanami, and even nowadays, the Lekha Tivusa, even nowadays that you don't have so much necessarily good in Eretz Yisrael as you did before, the Zavos Cholavad Vash isn't there, for example. Nevertheless, you still do have a certain advantage to living as a poor yid in Eretz Yisrael, that you're able to get leket shikha and peya and maisoni. So you might think maybe in Eretz Yisrael you have to be concerned that he's being nisgaya for one of those reasons rather than l'shem shemayim. Kamash malan, that's why the pasuk uses the word ba'artachem to tell us in the rest of the world there's no question a goy is allowed to become a ger.
Because
he's not benefiting from it. But even in Eretz Yisrael, where he stands to benefit from it, you're still allowed to.
Marrying him off to...
Yeah, that's what the Rambam said. That's what I'm saying. That if a person comes and says that I was this guy here, then we can accept him. And we can accept him based on what we're saying over here, because a pesha also a pesha hater. But meaning if we never knew before he was a goy. But as far as yuchsin, we're going to need some kind of raya.
Yuchsin meaning what?
For him to marry a Jewish woman, and that's it. Yeah. Amr of Chir Ba'aba Amr of Yechanan, Halacha ben Ba'aretz ben B'chutz La'aretz, Sarfa Habiraya. The Halacha is that whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz, he always has to bring a Raya, that he was a Ger. And again, the question is, Pita, Yachad Rav Malacha Kerabim. Of course, we had a Machloikas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Of course, the Halacha is like the Chachamim. The answer is, Ma'ud Tamim Mestaber Taimid Rabbi Yehuda to come Asai Leikroi. You might have thought, in this case, maybe the Halacha should be like the Yachid. The way Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the Pasuk seems more logical. The Psukim seem to support his understanding more than the Chachamim. The word ba'artachem. Yeah. So you might have thought maybe in this case the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Kamashkalan, that's the chiddush that no, nevertheless, we follow the usual rule and the halacha is like the chachamim.
But the pasuk doesn't talk about the raya.
No, but we said itcha b'muchzak lach, and we said that you have to have edim, or you have to have a chazaka, or you have to have edim. Turn it up on him. We learn in a braise. So the pasuk says it was shvatem tzedek ben ish uvein achu uvein geroi. The pasuk says that you should judge righteously between a person and his brother and his ger. Mikan amar Rabbi Yehuda. Based on this, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, on the pasuk over there, Rashi says that geroi doesn't necessarily mean a ger. It means his baal din, or it means his neighbor, or whatever. But here the Gemara is taking it in a simple sense of a ger. So now, why does it need to mention it? Of course, you judge the same between born Jews and Gerim. The Torah says all over the place that you have to treat Gerim fairly. Mikan Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ger she nisgayer based in areza Ger. Only if a Ger is nisgayer in based in is he a Ger. That's what it means. Shvat tem tzedek uvein Ger. That he's only a Ger if it was done by a based in who's judging tzedek. Vein or the vein atzma ain't a Ger. But if he was nisgayer on his own, then he's not a Ger. He himself, let's say, did mila. Without a base, and he himself toiveled, he himself accepted, he read through Shulchan Aruch and accepted it on himself a mitzvah, no good.
Because it has to be
done by a base. And Maisa ben Echad Shabal Lifnei Rabbi Yehuda, it happened once that somebody came in front of Rabbi Yehuda, Va'amalai Nisgayarti Beinu Levein Atzmi, he says, I was Nisgayar on my own. Amalai Rabbi Yehuda, Yesh Lecha Edim. So Rabbi Yehuda asks him, do you have Edim? Meaning that you were Nisgayar on your own. Amalai Lav, no. Yeshlach Abanim, he asked him, do you have children? Amalai Hey, yes, I have children. Amalai, Rabbi Yehuda tells him, in that case, Neman Ata Lifsalat Asmacha, V'iyata Neman Lifsalat Banecha. We will believe you in the sense that you yourself are also to marry a Bat Yisrael unless you undergo a Geirus in front of Beis Din. Because a person is able to answer themselves. You effectively, by what you said, have declared yourself to be a Goy. That's called Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disura, that you have declared yourself to be an Isur
by saying that you're
an improper Ger, meaning effectively a guy. But you don't have the power to paschal your children by that. It means that if we were to say that your children have a Cheskas Kashrus, we don't trust you. We can't believe you as an aid to say that they're possible.
If we don't believe you, how can we trust you?
Because a person can say on himself that he's author. A person is able, we can believe a person when he says on himself, I'm author to do something. But we can't believe him when it affects somebody else. Especially because if we're saying that he's a guy, then he's b'chol not shayach to edus.
So how can his children be Jewish then?
That's what we're saying. We're saying, it's called palgin and dibura. Like we had this earlier in the Masechta. We split what he said into two. He's saying about himself, I'm a guy. Fine, you're a guy. You're saying, no, that means that my children are pgumim, or maybe that if I have daughters of halalim, etc., that we can't accept. We don't have solid enough evidence of that.
But we're not judging. We're not giving an opinion on the children, in other
words. We're saying the children remain kosher.
Saying the children remain kosher.
The question is, me, Omer, of Yehuda.
Do you know who's his wife?
Of course his wife was a Jewish woman. No, we're talking about his children had a cheskas kashrus. All this time, he was married to a Jewish woman. His children had a cheskas kashrus, but they're Jewish. Him saying that I was not nisgayer properly by a Beis Din does not take away their cheskas kashrus.
So, he says that even a goy can, the blood is kosher, that's the halacha.
But that's right. What we're saying, in other words, it means that they have a cheskas kashrus in the sense that if they're girls, they're able to marry koyanim. If they're boys, and if they're boys, according to the opinion that their wives would be halalos, then they're not, etc., yeah. The question is, why did Rabbi Yehuda really say that a father is not believed about the status of his children? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa. The pasuk says, by the pasuk describes the situation where a person has a b'chor, a person has two wives, ha'ahuha v'asnua, the b'chor is from the hated wife, and we say that he can't play favorites, the b'chor has a b'chor. The pasuk uses the expression, ki yasa b'chor ben asnua yakir, that he has to recognize the b'chor. And yakir, the Gemara explains, the Braisa explains, yakirenu la'acherim. That means that you make him known to others. Bikan Amar Rabbi Yehuda, based on this, Rabbi Yehuda explains, neman adam lema zebni b'chur. A person is believed to say, this person is my firstborn, even if we didn't have a chazaka beforehand, that he was a son. To get a double portion. Uchshem shenem and loyma zebni b'chur, just as we believe him to say that this child is a b'chur, kach nem and loyma b'ni zeben grusho ben chalutza. So also we believe him to say that the child is a ben grusho ben chalutza. And therefore there is a chalal. V'chachamim and a neman, whereas the chachamim say that not. So Rabbi Yehuda himself holds the father does have nemanus over his son. How is he saying you don't have nemanus to say that your son is possible? Amr of Nachmiz, chachachamak. Hachakamalei. Okay, but in this case, it's different. In the case of that Braisa, the father is a Yid. So he has his Shayach, the Edif. In this case, he's telling him like this, the Dvarecha, according to your own words, Oritachamata, you yourself effectively are saying you're a Goy. The Ein Edus Levitachavim. A Goy is not Shayach, the Edif. So yes, usually you have the rule of Yakir, but that only applies where the father and the son are both Jews. You're not a Jew, so therefore the rule of Yakir doesn't apply. Ravina Amar, Ravina says a little differently. Hachakamalei, that no, what Rabbi Yehuda had asked the man was as follows. Yesh lecha banim hein. He asked him, do you have children? Yes. Then he asked him, yesh lecha bnei banim hein. Do you have grandchildren? And he said, yes. Amalei, and then according to this version, Rabbi Yehuda tells him, nemen atal lifsel banecha. We believe you not only to pass on yourself, but also to pass on your children, because we do accept this thing of Yakir, even if you're saying that you yourself are a guy. V'yatanemen lifsel bnei banecha, but we don't believe you insofar as passing your grandchildren. Because there's no pasuk that says that a grandfather has nemanos on his grandchildren, even if all of them are Jews. Well, Yakir means to make it known who he is. Yeah. Right. Okay, but it means both. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned similarly in Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Neman Adam Loim Abnei Kotten, Vein Neman Abnei Gadol, that we find in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says a person is trusted to say something about his little child, but not about his big child. A katan does not mean literally a katan below bar mitzvah. Gadol does not mean over bar mitzvah. El, a katan v'yeshle banim zeh gadol. What it means is, even if he's a katan, if he has children, that's considered a gadol for this purpose. Because we're saying then that we don't trust him to say anything about the status of the grandchildren. Gadol v'ein le banim zeh katan. Whereas if it's an older child, but he doesn't have any children yet, that's considered a katan. We would believe him to passel that child as well.
One who
doesn't have children. Yeah, for this purpose, yeah. And the Gemara says, V'hilchasa kavaseder Rav Nachum. The Gemara finishes off, V'hilchasa kavaseder Rav Nachum Yitzchak. The halacha, in the end, is like Rav Nachum Yitzchak. That he's saying that even as far as his own children, we're not going to trust him, because he's a guy at this point, and a guy doesn't have ages. The question is, V'atanya kavaseder Ravina. We just quoted a braisa that agrees with Ravina's version of things. The answer is Ahulin in Yakir Itmar. Yes, that Braisa is talking about the din of Yakir. That when all of them are Jews, that father has Nemonos on his son, based on the Xeris Akasav of Yakir, but not on his grandchildren. But in a case like what we just had, where the grandfather is declaring, or the father is declaring himself to be a guy, even the rule of Yakir doesn't apply. So we go back to what Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, that once there are children involved, that we can't believe him on those. He himself, Shabi Napshe Chaticha Deistur, he made himself into a Chaticha Deistur, so he's going to be required to undergo Geirus again before he can marry a Bas Yisrael. But there's children, because there's no Yakir over here, because he's not a Jew, and therefore the children still keep the Cheskes Kasher.
And the grandchildren.
And the grandchildren, for sure, the grandchildren, yeah. And that's the Maskana.